Pay no attention to that Fed man behind the lectern. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York doesn't just run a Fed region. He's also a vice chair of America's Interest Rate Setting Committee. Well, last evening, John Williams gave a speech saying in the face of an economic emergency, it's important to act swiftly, keep rates lower for longer, and do not, quote, keep your powder dry. Well, some market players saw this as a fireworks display level hint that interest rates might go down more than expected next week. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, saw it as such a day glow sign, he dashed off a bulletin to clients.
I shot out a customer note, the subject line, Williams, don't keep your powder dry. He's calling for aggressive rate cuts.
Well, that's how many people interpreted it. But then a Fed spokesman put out a statement calling this an academic speech on 20 years of research, that it's not about potential policy actions at the upcoming Fed interest rate meeting. So I guess maybe not.
Yeah. Wow. The Fed funds futures market, where on an average day, 100,000 contracts might trade. And yesterday, in the span of an hour, 1 million contracts traded. The Fed realized, ooh, we just signaled something we're not prepared to commit to. And so they walk it back. But, you do have to scratch your head and wonder, what is that 20 years of research, which, by the way, the New York Fed president tied to the current economic situation? What exactly is it for if it's not a guide to how to make policy?
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, the chief economist there. Always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, David.
Moving on to Toys R Us. Famous brand went bust, 800 stores closed, 30,000 people lost jobs. But a strong brand seldom truly dies. The new Toys R Us is owned by an outfit called True Kids and will open two small stores in upscale malls in northern New Jersey and in Houston. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
This is not going to be the old big box stores with every toy version of Toys R Us. Retail analyst Wendy Liebman says there'll be a few small upscale stores offering kids and parents an opportunity to interact with toys.
To experience brands in a space that they'll be comfortable with so they can order immediately or experience and go online.
The company will make its money from toy makers paying to create branded play spaces and then gather data.
Showcasing these new and emerging products, getting research from who's buying them, how they're doing.
Using the old Toys R Us brand name plays on customer nostalgia, says CFRA analyst Camilla Yanishevsky.
And that can lead to an uptick in traffic when these stores open.
That'll happen in time for the 2019 holidays. Another 10 or so stores are slated to open next year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
It's the 50th anniversary. I know what you're thinking. One small step. But it's also the 50th Comic-Con convention, that wild celebration of comics, sci-fi, and all manners of pop culture. Back in 1970, it was an intimate gathering. Now 130,000 people are coming through the San Diego Convention Center. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
From cosplaying stormtroopers and zombies to chance encounters with cult comics artists, the magic of Comic-Con has drawn Diane Garcia back for the past 15 years.
It's like a huge playground for adult nerds, basically. Like, there's so much to do.
But she says that playground has gotten harder to get access to over the years.
Pretty much the minute the convention is over, you have to start planning for the next year.
Tickets for the event sell out within an hour, and hotel rooms? Almost impossible. Garcia and her friends had to scramble for a place to crash.
We really didn't know where we were staying until last week. Which is a little nerve-wracking.
The transformation of today's Comic-Con would probably be unimaginable to those gathered for the event in the early days, says Rob Salkowitz, author of Comic-Con and the Business of Pop Culture.
From a basement of 100, sweaty teenagers to turning the entire world into superhero fans.
Salkowitz has been attending for more than 20 years, and he remembers the moment he realized things had changed, a little more than a decade ago when he saw Paris Hilton and her phalanx of paparazzi.
And I thought, okay, if Paris Hilton has anything to do with Comic-Con and Comic-Con has anything to do with Paris Hilton, we are definitely in a new world in terms of geek and genre entertainment merging with the rest of the larger popular culture.
But just as Hollywood has changed Comic-Con, Comic-Con has also changed Hollywood, says Henry Jenkins, a media scholar at USC, not just in the dominance of superhero franchises at the box office, but...
I think it's part of this bigger picture of Hollywood being driven by engagement more generally, that one of the measures of success in this era is how much passionate fan following you get.
And nowhere are fans more passionate, vocal, and organized than at Comic-Con, where fan reaction can make or break a major studio project or push the industry to create content more reflective of audiences.
When Hollywood comes there to meet its fans, it's looking at a more diverse face of fandom. Why do we suddenly have black mermaids and female Ghostbusters?
And it's that sense of inclusion that keeps Diane Garcia coming back, even as many of her purest friends have dropped out.
You know, you're a girl, you read comics, that's not weird.
Even if she's dressed as a hobbit. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. It's from APM, American Public Media.